Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
This Wednesday night, I want to talk to you about protected by the blood. This would be part two, if you're keeping track. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, and when I smite the land of Egypt. Let me just give a real brief explanation of the Passover. Since we're talking about Easter Sunday and Passover, this is what the Passover was. It was the Israeli people being held in bondage as slaves by the Egyptians. They had them in terrible slavery, treated them terribly, and God said, it's time to let my people go. And he sent that message to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go, so he began to bring plagues on Egypt. And finally he said, I'm bringing this plague because you won't let my people go. He said, your firstborn son is going to die. Everyone that is an Egyptian is going to have a firstborn son that is going to die. And it is the punishment upon your people because you have kept my people in slavery. And then he said to the people of Israel, but he said, I do not want that plague to come to you, and here's my plan. And he gave very specific instructions about going to find a lamb without blemish, slaying that lamb. If it's too large for your house, share it with your neighbor, cooking the lamb, eating the lamb with your shoes on, ready to travel because I'm getting ready to take you somewhere. And that's what I would say today. God is getting ready to take the church a place where we've never been before. It's going to be exciting. And so then he said, you take that blood of the lamb and you paint it on the doorpost of your house, one on the left, one on the right, and one over the top. And when the death angel comes to Egypt and sees that blood painted on the doorpost, he said, that death angel will pass over that house and that firstborn child will not die. So that's the reason why it's called the Passover. And so here we are many years later. And so we're not under the law, but the truth is, that there is still a curse on many people's lives because they will not give themselves to Christ. Now, Christ has not sent this plague. This is the work of the adversary against the whole human family. But God is saying, I will make a difference between those that are saved and those that are not saved. And the difference is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you will paint not your house, I saw a lot of people or several people online this week, and they were taking red ribbons and putting them beside their house door and over the top, and I think that's kind of keen. It's just a symbol of what you're believing in your heart. It's not idolatry. I saw somebody say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. It's all right. It's a symbol of what you're saying spiritually. I've got this red ribbon over the door of my house, beside the doorpost of my house, but what I'm saying is spiritually, I believe that I am covered by the blood of Jesus. That's what they're saying with that. And so there are steps we need to take to spiritually apply the blood of Jesus to the doorpost of our hearts and our houses, our family, our household during this time of coronavirus. Today's people, when I talk to people today, so many people really believe there's a God, and so many people really believe that God's going to take care of them, and so many people believe that when they die, they're going to be saved. But they have done nothing in their lifetime that would indicate that this is going to happen. They just assume it's going to happen. It's like magic. It's just something that's going to happen through no effort of their own. And so when we talk about applying the blood to the doorpost of our heart, we're talking about there is an energy, there is an effort of faith. James, the blood brother, the blood half-brother of Jesus, said that faith without works is dead. There are things that we need to do. Today's people are very nonchalant about their salvation. People live and die very nonchalant, very blasé, very indifferent or bored or unimpressed with eternity. But friend, it's not so in the Bible. Those people that were saved in the Bible, they were warned with tears. They were searchers. They were seekers. They were people that knocked on the door. They were people, the Bible used the word fervency. They had fervency about the things of God. I would warn you today that it's not just going to happen because somebody snaps their fingers. If you want the Lord, you must seek Him. You must invite Him in. You must call upon Him. And if you want the blood of Jesus Christ applied to protect your body, your life, your family, your spouse, your children, your household, you need to take steps to apply that blood. And so that's what I want to talk about, steps to take to apply the blood of Jesus to the doorpost of our hearts and our houses. I talked about it a little bit last week. Number one, to believe in the heart. That's where it all starts. You know, faith is not a matter of the head. It's a matter of the heart. You've got to believe in your heart. What is the heart? It's not that organ that just pumps blood. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the essence, the core of human existence, those things that matter, those things that you love, those things that you dwell on. That's what we're talking about. And so faith is a matter of the heart. And if you are going to be saved, and if you're going to apply the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, I will not take time to talk about the Lamb's blood. It is the most powerful blood known in the animal kingdom. It's what they use when they want to be able to save somebody's life that has been bitten by a snake, a venomous snake. They mix that, and it keeps that blood from coagulating, and it saves their life. And so they use the blood of the Lamb. And so the blood of the Lamb is very, very important. And this has always been God's will to save the world. The Bible said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And so when you say, what do I believe? There's so many things to believe. Well, friend, you can't go and play in a game. You can't go into business if you don't know the rules. And nor can you think to receive the things of God if you don't know the rules. And that's the reason why God gave us the Bible. And I've often said God didn't give us a matchbook with one verse written on it. It's not just John 3:16. It's a whole book. It's a book of salvation. It's a book of instruction. It's a book that makes us victorious and overcoming. And so the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So you study the Word of God. So what do you believe in your heart? You believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, that He is the hope of the world, that He is not a mere man, that He did not have an earthly father, that there was no sin in Him, tempted in all points, but He did not succumb to any of them. We must believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And so that means that His blood did not come from the Adamic bloodline, but it literally came from heaven. And so Jesus Christ's blood was uncontaminated. The only human that has lived since Adam that had uncontaminated blood. And so it was that shed blood at Calvary when Jesus Christ died on Golgotha's hill, on Calvary's cross. That blood that was shed for one reason. It was for our salvation. And so now we must take that blood and apply it to our lives to be saved. How do we do that? Believe in our heart. The Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But the Bible also tells us if we believe, we will be obedient. We will follow Christ. So it's not enough just to frame one verse. And so I believe in that one verse. You've got to take the whole of the Bible and say, what's God's plan for me? Number one is that we should believe. Number two is that we should have a confession of our mouth. We need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible declares that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. You say, was all of God in Christ? Not all of God. Because you cannot put God in His vastness in one human body. But the Bible said He is the image of the invisible God. The only God that you can see. The only God that is personified. The only God that you can know by vision will be Jesus Christ. He is the expressed image of the invisible God. And so you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He died for your sins. I believe that. This is what I believe. I believe He died in my place on Calvary. And I believe 3 days later He rose again. I believe He ascended to heaven. He's the right hand of the Father, ever working and making intercession for me. That's what Jesus Christ is doing. That's what I believe. There's nobody like Jesus. You can't compare Him to anybody you know. You can't compare Him to any heroes. Somebody said that the president said that he had done more for America than Jesus did. He didn't say that. But anybody that would even think that would be an idiot. The Beatles way back in the 60s declared that they were more popular than Jesus Christ. But some of them have died and did not come back. There's nobody as popular as Jesus Christ. Not only is the toilet paper flying off the shelves, if you go and try to buy a Bible in these days, most of the shelves where the Bibles are sold are empty because people are fearful and they're looking for an answer. Well, I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ is the only answer. And so you must believe. You must make the confession of your mouth. And listen to this. Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The question is not whether God loves you. God loves you unequivocally, without apology. Jesus Christ loves you. But to make this great love story work, there has to be a reciprocation. We have to love him back. That's all we're preaching about right now. Will you love God? Will you love Jesus Christ that died while you were yet a sinner? Will you show him that you love him? Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And he also continued in that same chapter, verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Obedience to the word of God. You know, so many people profess a love for God, but they show no obedience to God's word. If you really love God, you'll search his word, and you will follow his word, and you will want to become obedient. That's the way that you understand that I have a relationship with the Lord. I am obedient to him. You understand the night that the firstborn died at the Passover? You understand that there was not just enough blood for the Israelis, for Israel. There was enough blood for Egypt. But it was only the people of Israel that took that blood. It was available to them. They just did not obey God. Friend, it's never been about the ability, about the availability of salvation. Salvation is available to every man, woman, boy, or girl. Color or creed, it does not matter who you are. Salvation is available. The question is, will you be obedient to the instruction of the Lord? Will you take that blood and apply it to the doorpost of your house? And in our case, will you take that blood and apply it to your heart? How do you do that? You do that by obeying him. You know, the Bible teaches us that repentance is an act of the heart. Repentance and the blood are inextricably joined in the Bible. They cannot be separated. You can't separate the repentance and the blood. The repentance of sin is vital in applying the blood of Jesus to the doorpost of our heart. The Bible teaches us that we must repent. What does that mean? That means that we're sorry. We're sorry for our nature. I hear people saying, "Repent of your sins," and they always put an S on that. But really, the Bible said sin, singular. What does that mean? Your very nature. You repent for what you are, what you were, what you've done. That's repentance. That's how you begin to apply the blood to your doorpost of your heart. Salvation's never been about supply. It's always been about obedience. The ark was not overcrowded. There was a lot of people that could have gotten in that ark with Noah. It was not overcrowded. It was simply that the fact that the people were not obedient to get in that ark and let God save them. And so today, heaven doesn't have a housing shortage. You think I can't go to heaven? There is a denomination that teaches only 144,000 are going. And I've actually asked them, let me ask you this. What if you die saved, somebody gets better, and does a better job of living than you, and there's only 144,000 going to be saved, could you get bumped after you're dead? And they actually said, yes, you could. Man, I'm glad I'm not subscribing to that religion. It's whosoever will. God's heaven is big enough for everybody. There is not a housing shortage in heaven. If it were, God would have already called Jimmy Carter and his wife Rosalind there, because that's what they do. They build houses for those that need them. Jimmy would be there if there was a housing shortage. There's not a housing shortage in heaven. There was room in the ark, and there was blood in Egypt, but they simply were not obedient. We must be obedient to the Lord, and the Bible said repent. Tell God you're sorry. But it not only means saying I'm sorry, it means turning your life around. That word literally means turn around 180 degrees. The Bible declares that people that are truly repentant will live a different life. You will be a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old man will pass away. There will be a new man born in his place. That's the reason why Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, a religious man, religion's not enough. You must be born again. In Luke chapter 24, verses 47 and through 49, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Repentance, it begins at Jerusalem. It is the prelude to forgiveness. Before the Lord can forgive you, which we all need forgiveness, we must repent. It is the application of the blood in our life. And friend, it's not something you do once in a lifetime. It's something that you learn to do regularly. There's not a day in my life where I do not feel like I've not lived up to my own expectation, and I've not lived up to the pinnacle that God has called me to, that I don't tell God I'm sorry. Lord, I failed in that. Now help me, Lord, next time to do better. What is that? That is me reapplying the blood to the doorpost of my heart. Why? Because I want to be protected, because there really is a devil. There really is a Satan. There really is a coronavirus. There really is a cancer. There really is sin. There really is disease. But I want a canopy over me. I want to be protected. And nothing can protect me but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So every day of my life, I'm renewing the application of that blood. Keep me fresh in the Lord. The Bible said, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. When they heard the apostle preaching about their sin, they were convicted in their spirit and their heart. They said, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repentance is a tremendous experience. It's not mentioned by most preachers today. It's just come forward at the best. Even that, they don't do much anymore. Most churches never give an altar call. If they're real spiritual, they will ask you to raise their hand right where you're standing. But the Bible said there's a little bit more than raising your hand. You need to repent. You need to believe. You need to confess. You need to apply the blood of Jesus Christ to the doorpost of your heart. Next, the Bible teaches us there's an experience called baptism in water. I find it appalling that the Christian church has abandoned what the Bible calls the doctrine of baptisms, plural. Baptism in water, baptism of the Holy Spirit. I literally heard a man, a renowned preacher, he's very critical of a lot of people. He calls their names and criticizes them. And I heard him do a 45-minute message the other day against baptism, because he said if you are baptized, he said it will injure your faith because you'll think that baptism had something to do with your salvation. Friend, if you study the message of Jesus Christ, he referred time and time again about baptism. And he himself gave us the example of baptism. And it was when he was baptized that the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. I can tell you today that if you have not been baptized, you have not well pleased the Lord, because it is a commandment of Christ. It is a commandment of the disciples. It is a commandment of the Apostle Paul. And it is an experience. The Bible said that we are buried with Christ. Buried with Christ. You understand that Jesus died on the cross, but he was also buried. And the Bible teaches us that baptism is our token. It is our symbol of being buried with Christ. That when we come up out of that water, we're saying, praise God, I've died to the old man. I've died to the sins. The blood has been applied to my life. I'm under the canopy of protection. And now the blood of the Lamb will avail in my place. And I am going to live a victorious, resurrected life. Know you not, the Bible said in Romans 6:3, know you not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried by him in baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Baptism was a constant element in the salvation experience in the New Testament church. It is not a work of the flesh, as some would say, but it is a replacement for the work of circumcision. Circumcision was a work. Baptism is not a work. It is a spiritual experience. There are no required works in the gospel of the New Testament. The works were the laws of the Old Testament. And next, if you want the blood to be applied, you want to be protected. You know, it's a wonderful thing. My only grief in all of this coronavirus has been for others, because not one bad thing has happened to me. I've been blessed in every way. The Lord has spoken to me in His Spirit. The Lord has given me joy. The Lord has shadowed me and showered me with His blessings and His Spirit. And so it's only been to intercede for other people. Why is that? I have what the Bible calls the seal of the Spirit. I literally have myself covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by my own works that I should boast, but by the appropriation that Christ has made available. And I said, yes, Lord, I'll be obedient to them. And so I've been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just amazing to me how people can study the Bible. From the Gospel of John, where Jesus talked about the glory of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to the book of Acts, to where they received it by the thousands, to all the writings of the Apostle Paul throughout the epistles. How can you read those and neglect the fact that the Lord wants to do one thing, and that is to seal you with the Holy Spirit? The seal of the Spirit, the Bible calls it. In whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth. That's what happened to us. We heard the word of truth. He said, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. How does the Holy Spirit seal us? What is the seal of the Holy Spirit? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, he elaborates a little bit. He's talking about regarding the Holy Spirit, in whom also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Word. The Greek word translated as seal, it simply means to set a seal or a mark on somebody with a seal. That's what happened to me. And so praise God. Every day, not only do I live a life where every day I repent, every day I confess the Lord dozens of times every day. I confess His power and His glory. I confess His provision. I confess His greatness and what He will do in my life. It's a joy to do that. I also say, Lord, forgive me as I repent of my sins. But I also know that I am sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit. So every day, it's not a proud thing. It's not an arrogancy. It's getting up every day and say, this is the hope of my salvation. Look what the Lord has done. I'm not normal. I'm abnormal. Not because I was born from my mother's womb with superior abilities, but because I have been gloriously saved, I have been washed in the blood, I have been sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and so the Lamb of God is protecting me by His blood. And so when I view television and I see the things that are happening, all I can do is pray for people and say, thank you, Lord, for putting that canopy over me. Thank you, Lord, for the protection of the blood of the Lamb, because I am gloriously saved. But I'm also gloriously protected by the power of the blood of the Lamb. And let me hurry on here as I move toward the closing. The act of communion is a wonderful experience. I've seen a number of people experiencing that online. That's a great thing, because the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take this to eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you do eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And so when you take communion, that's a way of renewing yourself and saying, what are you doing? I'm freshly applying the blood of Jesus Christ to my life, my house, my family, my household. The blood of Jesus Christ is protecting me. And finally, in closing, this is so tremendous that we understand this. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. It's called the transformation of sacrifice. That is one way I renew and reapply the blood to my life in a regular fashion, that I am transformed every day through the working of the Holy Spirit. I recognize the mercies of God. I present my body, that it is not my own, but it is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is a sacrifice I make to God and say, God, use my voice, as you're doing now. Use my hands, God. Use my body. And Lord, let me be reminded that I am not normal, but I have been transformed. I'm not like the world. Transformed, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of my mind. Because as I think on Jesus Christ, He transforms me every day. Not a normal person, but somebody that is able to walk through the maze of problems and trials and come out victorious. Go through the valley of the shadow of death and say, the Lord, thou art with me. He keeps me and He protects me. What happens to other people doesn't have to happen to you. If you could put your faith and your trust in the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, which taketh away the sins of the world. And thousands of years from that great outcry that John the Baptist made, we see another picture, and it's the saints of God gathered around the throne. And what are they saying? They're saying, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. If you're saved today, it is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're healthy today, it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've ever been healed, it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so every day of your life, you ought to thank God for the blood. You ought to thank God for the blood. But you ought to also say, God, how can I renew the blood of Jesus Christ on my life? Because the devil never gets up. He gets up every day saying, how can I steal? How can I kill? How can I destroy? But when he knocks on the door of your house and he looks up and he sees the blood is applied, he said, I've got to pass over. I've got to leave them alone. I got to go find somebody else, because these people are protected by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And friend, I hope everybody watching me right now has had that experience. If not, I want to pray with you. I'm talking to people right now, some of them saved and some of them not saved. I'm speaking to someone right now that is in great health. And you say, well, do I really need it? Oh, I don't care how healthy you feel now. Time takes its toll. You need the blood of the Lamb. I'm speaking to somebody that's very, very sick right now. And you say, can I get well? Oh, yes, you can. By His stripes, we are healed. And so right now, I wish you would do some of the things that I've talked about. I wish you would believe in the Christ that I'm preaching about. I wish you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord. I wish right now you would invite Him to come into your heart. I wish you would ask Him to seal you with the power of the Holy Ghost and fire. I wish you right now would say, Lord, I want that spiritual communion with you. And Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to transform me. Make me a new person. I don't want to live like I've been living. I want to live a transformed life. I'm going to pray for you right now. As I pray and you agree, sitting right there where you're watching this telecast, I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ is well able to transform you. He's well able to make you a new person. And He's well able to heal your body. Would you agree with me in this prayer right now? Jesus Christ, You are my Savior and my Lord. I've studied the Word of God, and I marvel at the great depth of the Word of God, the great wisdom of the Word of God. I've seen people that have been so blessed by Your power. But the greatest thing in my life, Lord, is to know what You've done for me. You brought me out of sin. You, Lord, took away so many sins. And then You took Your blood and You covered me and You caused me to repent and turn around. You made a new creature out of me. And Lord, I will forever be grateful. I cannot praise You enough. I can't sing to You enough. I can't glorify You enough, Jesus. But Lord, I'm nobody in my flesh, but You made me somebody in the Spirit. And God, if You would do it for me, You would do it for anybody watching right now. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter who your parents were. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your sex. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your creed. It doesn't matter your race. It just doesn't matter. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. He died for you. When he hung on that cross, it wasn't nails that hung him there. 10,000 angels came to say, "We'll take you down on the cross." And Christ said, "Go away. You can't take me off of this cross because I lay down my life." And then he called your name. He knew you by name. God loves you. That's not the question. The question is, will you love God? If you will say right now, "Christ, come into my heart. Fill me with your spirit. And Lord, heal my body." The miracle of God can manifest in your life right where you are. God bless you. I call it done in Jesus' name. If you can reach out to us, you can text us.